met Sarah in the hall, and she said, "You're late." I said, "Oh, I better get in the studio and talk to Phil." Well, here I am. We have such a wonderful family of independent bookstores to supply our book picks for the week. And this morning, we welcome back the Bunnington or Bennington Bookshop, as we like to call them, after spending lots of time and After spending lots of time of reading dozens of books and studying up, owner Phil Lewis joins us this Tuesday morning with a terrific list of books to share. Phil, I thank you. It's very nice to have you here. I apologize for my scattered state.
It must be the weather, Joe.
No, it's just I'm trying to do too many things during the break when I could do them later.
Okay.
I just need to calm down. But it's delightful to see you. Thank you very much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
It is, you have a great list. Where would you like to begin?
Okay, the first up today is The Winter Soldier by Daniel Mason. And I read his book, The Piano Tuner, years ago, and I remember enjoying it very much, even though I don't remember much about it. So I was really looking forward to this book, and it doesn't disappoint at all. Lucius, the main protagonist, has just completed the first 2 years of his medical degree when World War I engulfs Europe. He enlists and is assigned as a medical orderly to a remote field station in the Carpathian Mountains of Eastern Europe. The Winter Soldier begins with Lucius climbing down from a train at an isolated station in the mountains. It's a 2-day journey on horseback to his posting. Lucius finally arrives at the field station, a shell-damaged church in the village of Lemnowitchi, expecting to work under the supervision of the resident doctor. Instead, he's met by a nursing sister in a stiff grey habit and armed with a rifle. "The doctor," she asks in response to Lucius's question about his supervisor, "didn't you just say you are him?" Margareta, the nursing sister, shows Lucius around, introducing him to all the patients and summarizing their medical needs. She quickly realizes that Lucius has no experience. He has, in fact, only ever treated 2 patients, and she takes him under her wing. Working side by side in grueling conditions for long hours each day, they develop a strong bond, which slowly evolves into love. One day, a peasant arrives pushing a wheelbarrow loaded with a comatose soldier, the Winter Soldier of the novel's title. Lucius and Margareta examine the patient but can find no sign of physical injury. They diagnose nervous shock, a new disease sweeping the continent in the footsteps of the war. Lucius and Margareta's care and treatment of Horvath, the Winter Soldier, have a profound effect on all their lives. I think the Winter Soldier is a masterpiece. Mason's writing is so evocative that the reader is drawn into the world he creates, seeming to stand right there beside Lucius and Margareta as they tend to their patients in the little church in Lemnowitchi.
The name of the book is The Winter Soldier. It is by Daniel Mason. All right, next up.
Next up is Transcription by Kate Atkinson. It's London, 1940. Juliet Armstrong is recruited by MI5, Britain's domestic counterintelligence service, and tasked with transcribing the recordings of a group of suspected fascist sympathizers who meet regularly in a London apartment. The group is led by Godfrey Toby, a double agent working undercover for MI5. Juliet finds the work tedious and relieves the tedium by imagining romantic entanglements with her boss, Peregrine Gibbons, who's not undercover but is certainly hiding something. After weeks of boredom, Juliet is thrilled when she's asked to take on an assumed identity as Iris Carter Jenkins. Iris infiltrates a group of high society women whose husbands have all been imprisoned because of their support for fascism. There are code words and passwords and words of the day, and it seems that nearly everybody in the group is really working undercover for MI5. Juliet's world is upended one day when one of Godfrey's group arrives early to a meeting and catches him talking with Juliet about one of the transcriptions. Shots are fired and a cover-up begins. 10 years after the war, Juliet is working as a radio producer with the BBC. She assumes her wartime past is dead and buried, but then she bumps into Godfrey on the street one day. He pretends not to know her and quickly goes on his way. But the chance encounter disturbs Juliet's long-hidden memories of the war, and she has to come to terms once again with the events of 1940. Atkinson's novel draws on actual wartime events, but spins them wickedly to create this delightful romp through the halls of MI5. Her language is playful and fun, her wit sharp and well observed. The characters are finely crafted, but flawed, and all the more realistic for their flaws. This is a superb read.
Kate Atkinson is the author. The name of the new novel is Transcription. Next.
Next one is Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. Where the Crawdads Sing is at once a coming-of-age story, a murder mystery, and a courtroom drama. It's also a beautiful celebration of the wonders of nature. I was reminded very much of Barbara Kingsolver's writing when reading this book. Chase Andrews' body is found battered and broken at the base of a fire tower in the marshlands near Barclay Cove, North Carolina. Did he fall, or was he pushed? Suspicion falls on Kea Clark, the mysterious marsh girl, who lives alone in an isolated shack. Nobody knows much about Kea, who, since childhood, has scraped a living by digging mussels and selling them to jumping's bait and gas. The local sheriff slowly builds his case, aided by other members of the community who come forward with sightings of Kea. One witness reports seeing her attacking Chase shortly before he was found dead. Another tells the sheriff he saw her on her boat on the night of the death, heading in the direction of the fire tower. But Kea has an alibi. She was away in Greenville for 2 days, meeting the publisher of her award-winning books on marsh life. People saw her get on the bus and off again 2 days later when she returned to Barclay Cove, and the publisher confirms the meeting. The story switches back and forth between Kea's childhood, growing up in the marsh, and the investigation of Chase's death. The two storylines come together in 1970 when Kea is arrested on suspicion of murdering Chase. Owen's prose is delightful. With her beautiful depictions of landscape, she creates a rich portrait of the teeming life in the coastal marshes and how the reclusive marsh girl interacts with this fragile environment. Her descriptions of the light on the water and through the trees are really scintillating.
Where the Crawdads Sing, it is by Delia Owens.
Next one is Gone So Long by André Dubus III. It's been 40 years since Daniel Ahern last saw his daughter, Susan. She was just 3 years old when she was snatched from his arms before Daniel was cuffed and marched away by the police. He spent 15 years in prison. Since his release, he's built a new life, refurbishing furniture in the mornings and volunteering as a driver for old and infirm residents of a neighboring town in the afternoons. It's a simple life, but satisfying in its routine. After being taken from Daniel, Susan was raised by her grandmother, Lois. To explain the absence of Susan's parents from her life, Lois has told Susan that they died when their car crashed off a bridge into a river. As a teenager, she learns the truth for the first time. The knowledge shatters her sense of security, and her life descends into a series of brief and chaotic relationships with unsuitable men. Now in her 40s and married for 3 years to Bobby Dunn, her uncertainties rise again. Can someone with such a tragic background ever find love? Susan takes refuge with Lois, telling Bobby she needs the time and space to work on a novel. Instead, she carefully unpeels the long-buried memories of her childhood, discovering new insights into who she is and why. And 40 years later, Daniel is dying, and he's has unfinished business with his daughter. It's time to set his affairs in order. He writes Susan a letter and sets off on the 3-day journey south to Florida, where she lives. This is a powerful and compelling novel. Dubus writes with great intensity. With a few deft sentences, he conjures up scenes so vivid, it's as if you're there. His characters are real and heartfelt. Their pain and self-doubt are almost tangible. The tension rises thrillingly as the main characters approach the denouement. But will Susan and Daniel ever find peace?
Gone So Long is the novel. It is by André Dubus III, and a beautiful, beautiful novel. Next.
Unsheltered by Barbara Kingsolver. Barbara Kingsolver's latest novel, Unsheltered explores people's relationships with themselves, their families, their communities, and the natural environment. The book is divided into two parallel stories, one set in the present day, the other in the 1880s. Chapters alternate between these two time periods, with a tumble-down house in Vineland, New Jersey, providing a link between the past and the present. Kingsolver uses the past as a mirror to reflect on the uncertain times we face in the present. The present. Willa Knox inherits an old brick house in Vineland. The house is slowly falling apart, as is Willa's life, it seems. The magazine where she worked has closed. Her husband has just lost his job. Her living, grouchy father-in-law is slowly dying of cancer. Her daughter is adrift, and her son has just called with some devastating news. Willa seeks refuge in the past, plundering the archives of the local preservation society to find out whether there is any historical significance to her ramshackle home. In the archives, she discovers the work of Mary Treat, who corresponded with Charles Darwin for many years after the publication of The Origin of Species. The past. Thatcher Greenwood first encounters his neighbour, Mary Treat, when he goes to her house to retrieve his daughter's dogs. He finds Mary unmoving at her desk in the midst of conducting a scientific experiment. She wants to find out whether a Venus flytrap can digest the tip of a human finger, and has been ensconced with a finger in the jaws of the flytrap for 4 hours already. Thatcher, a science teacher at the local high school, is enthralled. They quickly form a scientific partnership and, over the coming months, embark on excursions into the countryside to marvel at the wonders of nature. Unsheltered is beautifully written. It's more conversational than many of Kingsolver's other novels, but equally as powerful in its underlying message, the importance of family and friends as a support in an age of uncertainty.
Barbara Kingsolver is the author. The name of the new novel is Unsheltered. We have time for one more, which
okay.
I think is good because you have one more.
I've got one more. I always have one up the sleeve. Yep. This is How Do We Look? The Body, the Divine, and the Question of Civilization by Mary Beard. How Do We Look is intended as an accompaniment to the PBS series Civilizations, but it stands alone as a beautiful and very accessible introduction to art history and an explanation of what we mean by the term civilization. It's filled with glorious photographs of art through the ages and very readable explanations of what this art meant to the people of the time. The title refers to Beard's intention of putting the viewers of art back into the frame. The book is divided into two parts. In part one, Beard explores the art of the body. She focuses on some early examples of art and asks the questions, why were these men and women depicted in this way, and how were they seen by the people of the time? In part two, Beard reflects on the problems faced by world religions in picturing the divine. Beard makes the point that some of what we view today as great art was in fact mass-produced in its time. She gives the example of some beautifully painted Greek ceramics, now carefully preserved in a museum, that were once just ordinary household crockery. So much depends on who is looking, she says, and so much depends on the context in which they look.
How Do We Look? By Mary Beard. For more information on the Bennington Bookshop in Bennington, Vermont, you can go to their website. It's BenningtonBookshop.com. Anything exciting coming up?
We had an event planned with Robin MacArthur, the author of Hot Spring Mountain. It's our favorite book of the year. She had a 15-inch fall of snow forecast, and we had to postpone. So early next year, please look out for Robin MacArthur at the bookshop.
Drat weather. All right. Well, you can find out more and find that date and all kinds of good stuff at BenningtonBookshop.com. Better yet, go visit them right on in Bennington, Vermont. You can also see the list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Phil Lewis, always a pleasure. Have a beautiful holiday. Thank you for sharing.
Same to you, Joe. Thank you. And same to the listeners.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.